Another problem addressed in banking today, the Swiss problem. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. European markets regained buoyance today after Switzerland agreed to lend one of its own, Credit Suisse, up to $54 billion if it needs it. The bank's stock cratered yesterday after it revealed an auditor thought the bank lacked adequate financial controls. But this morning, Credit Suisse stock is up 22%. We got Ben Kumar of Seven Investment Management on the line from London. Thanks for joining us.
Pleasure to be here.
What are you seeing? A calmer mood? I suppose that's thanks in part to the authorities in Switzerland, right?
I think so. But I think also, you know, there is almost fatigue, I suspect, over the last, what, 4 or 5 days or so, about exactly how bad this can get when you've had authorities, not just in Switzerland, but, you know, in the United States and in the UK, show that they're so clearly willing to step in to stop anything, you know, to stop financial system contagion happening. So I think people are starting to realize that, but you're not seeing a rapid bounce back in markets. You're not making up yesterday's losses, that's for sure.
Yeah, and it's interesting. We have to remind ourselves that Credit Suisse is at some level a different problem from the stuff we saw out in California with the banks there. An auditor had warned that the Swiss bank's financial controls were not up to snuff. That's a little different from worrying about the underlying bond portfolio.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, all the signs are that it can deal with its depositors taking money out. The problem with Credit Suisse is that it is not a very good bank in the sense that, you know, it doesn't have all the controls you'd want from a really large bank, so it's quite inefficiently run. It's managed to find every sort of scandal and fraud going over the last couple of years, but that doesn't mean it's a systemic risk. It means it's a bank that needs a lot of overhaul, needs management change, and probably needs a bit of a think about its identity. But it's not the same as, exactly as you say, it's not the same as Silicon Valley Bank at all.
Ben Kumar is head of equity strategy at Seven Investment Management in London. Always good to talk.
Thanks.
Last week, it was a slam dunk bet that the Federal Reserve would raise the cost of borrowing by at least a quarter of a percentage point next week. Now, market prices show investors are split 50-50 on whether the Fed can do this amid the worry over the banks. The Fed chief had said his team would weigh the data in its totality before deciding. And what are those data saying? Here's Marketplace's Nova Safo.
There was a time, oh so long ago, as in a couple of months back, when analysts were getting optimistic that the Federal Reserve would slow the economy, cool inflation, but avoid recession. Then data for January showed a surprising surge in job growth and retail spending. And with that, the possibility of a half-point rate hike was back on the table. But February data suggests January may have been a statistical blip, partly caused by seasonal factors. Retail sales fell 0.1% in February. Wage growth moderated. Consumer prices rose a bit, but wholesale prices, which show where consumer prices are likely headed next, actually fell just slightly. So where does that leave the Fed? With signs the economy has begun cooling, but not enough to reduce inflation to its 2% target. Will the troubles in the banking sector sway the Fed to pause interest rate hikes anyway, despite the data? We'll find out soon enough. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
We're also watching for a vote in the lower house of the French Parliament later today on whether to raise the retirement age by 2 years to age 64 there. France's Senate this morning voted yes, despite waves of strikes over this. French President Macron says the aging demographics of the country require this to make the accounting work. Tucked into President Biden's 2024 budget wish list is a big boost for the Environmental Protection Agency. The White House is proposing a 20% increase for an agency that hasn't had a raise in more than a decade. And last month's catastrophic train derailment in Ohio has some people demanding more from the EPA. Here's reporter Allie Budner.
When many environmental disasters happen, the EPA is the agency that local residents and officials turn to.
We really depend on EPA's expertise for all kinds of things.
Eric Schaefer directs the nonprofit Environmental Integrity Project,
including responding to toxic accidents like the one in Ohio. And you need people to do that.
Schaefer also led the EPA's Office of Civil Enforcement in the late 90s and early 2000s. He says the EPA's budget has been pounded over the last decade.
EPA's lost more than 2,000 of its staff, and that means fewer scientists, fewer engineers, fewer toxicologists.
Fewer personnel to respond during a crisis like the one in East Palestine. It also means the agency is behind on a long list of environmental impact assessments and other day-to-day regulatory tasks.
There is such a backlog, right, that very little of this is, oh, additional money, we can do all these amazing additional things.
Gernot Wagner is a climate economist at Columbia Business School. He says the new funds could be used to pay for what the EPA should already be doing.
And simply can't because of lack of staff, lack of resources.
President Biden says the agency needs more funds in part to help implement recent legislation, like the bipartisan infrastructure law, which pushes federal money to the local level.
And in order to spend the money, we need the regulatory capacity to do so. EPA is the lead agency for these environmental reviews, and it takes money and staff to speed up that process.
The White House budget is aspirational, of course, and it's pretty unlikely Congress will fulfill it. But many environmental economists are hoping at least some of the money comes through, because
enforcing rules is expensive.
Max Aufhammer is a professor of international sustainable development at the University of California at Berkeley. He says EPA regulators are kind of like parents.
As any parent knows, if you don't pay attention, things tend to go awry, and a hungry parent is worse at enforcing rules.
And in the wake of ongoing environmental disasters like East Palestine, former EPA official Eric Schaefer believes there may now be more bipartisan appetite to fund the agency's work. I'm Ali Budner for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. It's the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.